Okay, we're in Revelation chapter number 15. The reason we kind of jumped all the way to 15 is because the last session we had, we're in the last part of 13. You get into chapter number 14, and the 144,000, we already covered them, and we grabbed some passage of Scripture out of Revelation chapter 14 and covered them with our previous study. So we're actually going to be able to go ahead and jump into chapter number 15. And the first segment we've got here is the first 8 verses. We'll kind of break those down. Then if time allows and we want to go ahead and jump in the rest of it, we may go ahead and jump into chapter number 16, because actually Revelation has just got 15 just got 8 verses. If we get into those last vials, then and have time, which we may have time, we'll get into them. All right, so we look at chapter number 15, and we have another scene. We're kind of going up into seeing how things are going in heaven. Getting prepared for this. This is the final drive right here. This is bringing it all home as far as, you know, ending up the tribulation period. But we're still about midway in the tribulation, so there's still about 3.5 years to go. But a lot of things are going to come down very quick in chapter number 16. So chapter 15, verse number 1, it says, "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, 7 angels having the 7 last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God." Filled up here means complete and total. So what he's basically saying, what we know he's saying. He's saying these 7 angels that are going to come out here are bringing the last 7 plagues. After that, it's going to be over. This is going to wrap everything up. So everything has waited to this moment to be the last plagues that are going to come down. Can you just imagine? There's actually going to be a day when things are going to come to an end. It's going to actually be finished once and for all. Wow. When we think about it being final, being complete, being total, and no other plagues needing to come after that, because the millennial reign follows that, then a battle of Gog and Magog after that, then the new heaven, new earth. But when we think about it, how complete and final this is going to be. When we think back in history, the flood in Noah's day, I imagine he probably thought that was a pretty complete and final thing. Wow, if you're going to destroy the entire world with water, the entire world was destroyed with water. Everybody. The only ones that survived, obviously we know, was Noah and his family in the ark. And the sea creatures. So you would think if you were Noah, or you're one of his sons or one of his daughter-in-laws, this is a pretty final and complete judgment on earth. So after this, there's no way we're ever going to have anything remotely like this ever happen again. Is there a possibility anything could happen after this? Yeah, it's going to be worse. Destroying the world with a flood was one thing. Now, all the things we've read up in the first 3.5 years. Now what we're looking at coming up with the last final vials that are going to be worse than even what happened in the first 3.5 years. It's going to be terrible. When he confused the language at the Tower of Babel, wow, that must have been an intense judgment on the earth. And we think about those times when God has pronounced judgment on the earth or on a group of people. And I guarantee you those folks in those days probably thought, wow, this is pretty tough judgment right here. This is big. This is a big deal. And I can't imagine anything more disastrous than what we've experienced here. But just wait, it's fixing to come. When Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, look at these cities, and they're being destroyed by God's hand bringing down fire into these cities and destroying them. And how the devastation was. I imagine even in the world wars, must have been, for those that lived in those days, must have been an unbelievable sight to see the world thinking that the end is coming. How many times through history have people probably said, this is the end? Well, this is the end. This is the apocalypse. I'd say through history, that's been said a lot by different people in different generations. This is the apocalypse. This is it. This is the end. But it's not the end. The end is not yet. There's something yet to happen. All these events have yet to happen, but these last angels bringing these last seven vials and the last seven judgments is going to be an unbelievable thing. Revelation 15, verse number 2 said, "And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God." So where this is from, and I know we touched on it back when we were in chapter number 4. We'll go all the way back to Revelation chapter number 4 and verse number 6. It says, "Before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne, round about the throne, were four beasts full of eyes before and behind." And I know there's different thoughts as to what this sea is. Some think, well, is it the sea of humanity? And these people come up as sea of humanity, and that's a possibility. I'm not disputing and saying it has to be what I think it is, but my opinion and my thoughts are that it symbolizes the laver and the cleansing and the washing and the purifying. Because when we have these people in Revelation 15, chapter number 2, it says these are the people that had gotten victory over the beast. And where are they standing? They're standing on top of this crystal-like sea. And it's also mingled with fire. So I wanted to go back again in Exodus chapter number 30, verse number 17, and bring up the thoughts that point to the laver. "The Lord spake to Moses, saying, Thou shalt make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal, and thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go in to the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water, that they die not. When they come near the altar to minister, to burn offerings made by fire unto the Lord, so they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not. And it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his seed throughout their generations." So the purpose of the laver is to cleanse the priests when they're ministering all these sacrifices. That's the purpose of it. Said, I want this altar that the sacrifice is going to be made on. It's going to be right here. Just inside, before you go into the Holy of Holies, or the holy place, and then beyond that, the Holy of Holies, this laver is going to be here between the altar and the temple for the washing, for the cleansing of the hands. He said, "I want these priests wash their hands continually. Sacrifice, wash your hands. When you go in and out of the holy place, wash your hands, wash your feet. I don't want you tracking anything unclean." So it was all symbolic of being cleansed. Water does what? Water washes away the dirt and the filth. So that was the intent of the laver. One thing, to actually physically be clean, but spiritually it's a reminder that we must continually go to the laver to wash our hands and be clean. It's not that we need to be saved more than once. Don't confuse the laver with salvation. We get saved once because Jesus symbolizes that sacrifice on the altar. He died for our sins. He cleansed us, but we still living in this flesh, and this flesh continues to sin. We go to Him and we ask His forgiveness of those things we've done, and we wash our hands, we wash our feet. What did He say to Peter? He said, "Peter, I'm wanting to wash your feet." And Peter said, "No, Lord, I'm not going to let you wash my feet." He said, "If you don't let me wash your feet, you have no part with me." So there has to be a cleansing, and that's what that water symbolizes. But then Peter said, "Well, Lord, if you're going to wash me, just wash me all over. Pour it all over me." He said, "No, you're not dirty, but just your feet's the only thing dirty." So there has to be that continual cleansing, washing the hands in the laver, washing the feet in the laver, and that's our daily confessions to the Lord. When we pray and we just say, "God, I really messed up yesterday. I did it, or I did it this morning, you know. God, please forgive me." And it keeps that relationship with God where it needs to be. It doesn't affect salvation, but it keeps that relationship where it needs to be. So the laver symbolizes cleansing and purifying. If you feel like that this sea is a sea of humanity, I have no problem with that because I've leaned back and forth toward that, and maybe there's another idea or two out there. But regardless of what it is, it is a crystal-like sea that has these people that overcame the beast and his mark and all those things. They're redeemed, they're saved, and they're standing on top of this, whatever this sea is. And this sea is also mingled with with fire as well. In Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse 26, it says, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So there we have another a symbol of that water cleanses us and purifies us. And how else are they able to stand before God, these people? How are they redeemed? How did they overcome the beast? They overcame him how? By the blood of the Lamb. So regardless of what this sea is, it has to symbolize some sort of cleansing, purification. They're standing in the presence of God, accepted by Him because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now it says in here too that they're mingled with, it's mingled with fire, which brings a new element into it. Before in chapter 4, we just saw this crystal sea. Now we're seeing this sea mingled with fire. So what does fire mean when it comes into play as well? Of course, fire is symbolic too. We know over in Peter, the Bible talks about the earth is going to be purified with fervent heat. So there's going to be, what I envision, there's going to be a cleansing. You know, you're going to burn all the bad off and bring it down to the core, and it's going to be a new thing. You know, it's going to be cleansed and it's going to be purified. You know, you ever like to stick marshmallows on a stick and stick them in the fire? You ever do that? You ever have a s'more? S'mores are good, aren't they? Well, when you stick that marshmallow in there, some of y'all like them just burnt to a crisp, don't you? I've never liked them like that. You know, I like mine medium. I like my marshmallows medium. But you stick that thing in there and you let it catch fire and it burns for about a minute, and it is just like a piece of charcoal, isn't it? Then what do? You pull that piece of charcoal off and it's just like that soft center right there. Scrumdiddlyumptious right there, that is. So, but when you pull that off, it's like that, I don't know what it does, but it gives you that sweet inside and center of that marshmallow. I don't know why I always bring food in, but I have a good ability to do that. So I kind of think about the air. It's like, let's get rid of all the imperfections, get rid of all the impurities. The world has obviously been living under a curse. So once the curse is lifted and once the cleansing purification takes place, whatever happens there, however God chooses to do that, there's going to be a cleansing. It's going to be a purifying. So I don't know. I lean toward this being the fire also having to do with a cleansing and a purification. So these people standing on this sea are standing there by the blood of Jesus Christ. They're standing purified with the cleansing of the water of the Word and also cleansing by fire. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, it says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon foundation gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it." The day meaning the day of judgment. "Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." So fire is going to be what tests our works after we've been saved. Cleansing of the water of the Word is what saves us by believing and putting our faith in Christ. Then after that, our works at the end of our journey are going to be tried by fire, and those things are going to come out that are going to be beautiful and purified are going to be those things that have been tested through the fire that we've done for the Lord.